Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Good day to Grenada, Caracou, Petit Martinique, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean, those of you listening across the beautiful, beautiful countries in the Caribbean, and many of you in the diaspora who are listening as we continue to share information with you here of what is happening in the Ministry of Finance. As you know, Inside Finance is a program jointly done with the Ministry of Finance and myself as we work together to share with you what is happening in the country itself. I am Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance. And with me today, I have Mr. Timothy Antoine. Continue to deal with the issues really that we think is pertinent, important to you, important to the country, and therefore is vital for him as he's a permanent secretary within the Ministry of Finance to come and talk to us about what is happening. And so today I want to cover two things with him specifically, but there may be other thing I would raise, which is government revenue and what do they do with it, and what are some of the projects that the government are working on at this time to get us there. We take a word from our sponsors, we come back, and I continue my discussion here with Mr. Timothy Antoine. To all our listeners and supporters of the SGBC radio programs, you can now download the SGBC app on your Android phone. Go to the Play Store and get involved. Listen to some great music, great preaching, summon it. Testimonies, great thing is happening at the SGBCGrenada.com, and the app is available to you. Go download it from the Play Store to your Android phone. SGBC, it is available to you. An app that you can use wherever you are. Music will be available to you wherever you are now. You do not have to wonder where is the radio. Download it on your Android phone and carry it with you wherever you go. The SGBC app is available to you in the Play Store. Welcome back. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. With me in the studios, Mr. Timothy Antoine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. Mr. Timothy, good to have you back again. It's good to be chatting with you so often. Don't often get that.
Thank you, Pastor Simon. Good day to you and listeners home and abroad. I'm happy. I'm at the disposal of the nation, so I am always willing to answer the questions.
The questions. All right. And that is very... How is the Prime Minister doing, though?
He's doing well. Prime Minister has had to do a lot of traveling recently, and I don't know if you know it, but it's the hardest part of the job for him, actually. He does not like traveling. And where he can send someone, he does. Mm-hmm. I have had to go to some of the meetings that he's been asked to go to because, you know, he just figured that he didn't want to necessarily travel, and of course he figured that I would be able to represent adequately. But he's had to do quite a bit of traveling. So a lot of July, he was on the road, first to North America and then to Europe. And he did the CARICOM heads, and then after that it was North America and then Europe. And I think he's recovering from that, if you ask me. But he is in great spirits. I think the progress under the homegrown program, obviously, he's feeling very good about that. And he feels that we're making significant progress. And it's not just what he feels, it's what he's been told. Because as he travels around people, he gets feedback from development partners, from heads of government in other countries, from his CARICOM colleagues. And so he's been able to establish what we know to be true, which is that we're doing things, and the people are taking notice, our partners are taking notice of it, so that when we ask for help, whether it's financial or technical assistance, they're more willing to help because they feel we're taking the right steps. So Prime Minister is great. He has committed to come on the program at some point, so we have to schedule that, but he's doing good.
Okay. Now, the question for many persons, I think, sitting at home and thinking through about government expenses, hearing that we are collecting more, and some months that we than we normally do. We look at how much money that we have gained in terms of bringing the unpaid claims down, as you have reported in one of the programs. Not only that, but significantly, you look at how much money that you are now collecting, and you no longer have to fight in the deficit as much as you used to every month. The question I want to ask you, what does government do if the revenues in a given month exceed the target? What do you do with that money?
Okay, so if, for example, in a particular month, the target is 50 million in terms of revenues, and we collect 55 million, those extra dollars go towards paying down unpaid claims. Because remember, we want to get the over 60 days to zero. That's our goal. It's a big, ambitious goal, but it's important. And what we also do is that we're able to do a bit more with the projects, which is directly benefiting people. So the unpaid claims benefit people in our country. More projects benefit people in our country. More job creation, more services rendered, whether it's fixing our roads, or being able to do more with our schools, or, of course, very importantly, our health facilities, our hospital, and so on. So that is what happens. Now, so I'm glad you asked that, because from time to time, you hear people say, well, if they're collecting more than they should, then just give back the people. Well, the government is giving back the people. Mm-hmm. You get it back by unpaid claims being paid down, and you get it back through projects being done. But you also have to ask the question, what happens in the months when we do not meet the target? Now, generally, we meet the target, but you may have a month where you might be slightly off half a million or whatever, a million. If you were to be slightly off, it means that you have less to put on unpaid claims and you have less to spend on projects, because you have to manage the expenditure to suit the revenue. Remember the fundamental issue. You have to keep expenditure in line with revenue so that you're not spending more than you earn. In the past, what would happen? The money come in, but you still spend.
Right.
So you end up with this big monthly deficit. Now, if the money ain't come in, you cannot spend.
Just as simple as that.
Very simple. It's not that difficult, you know. The hard thing is changing our behavior. That's the hardest part. Our habit, yes. We accustomed to doing things when we want to do them. And in some cases, we can't. So even sometimes you hear people say, well, if the revenue is doing so good, why we can't spend this and why we can't spend that? We're spending within our means. We're spending within our means. We've broken that cycle of overspending and spending in excess of what we earn. The truth is, we should have been collecting more than we were collecting, and we ought to have been spending less than we were spending. And that is not just, you know, and whenever we say spending, what are we talking about? First of all, you have payroll, which is the single largest expenditure. You have debt, and then, of course, you have, you know, keeping the government alive, your utilities. For example, we spend $20 million on electricity every year. Quarter of that is on street lights. That's $5
million. $20 million a year?
$20 million a year.
On electricity bill?
On electricity.
That's high.
And $5 million of that is street lights. You see, I don't think people understand that. So that's the issue. Those are the things you're dealing with. And you have to find money to pay all of those things. So when people ask for this and ask for that, and you have to just understand the amount of things we're seeing. Yeah, we have to spend $1 million for Carnival. We have to spend this for that. We have to spend, you know, the list goes on and on. So what fundamentally, you have to spend based on what you earn. If you want to spend more, you have to earn more, whether that is taxes or CBI grants. But you have to bring your spending in line with your expenditure, in line with your revenue. Right, in another place, which is in your pulpit, Pastor Simon, I've dealt to this issue of it doesn't matter how much you earn.
Right. Yes.
It's how much you keep.
How much you keep.
And that you need to spend less than you earn. If you continually spend more than you earn, you're going to end up in trouble. Not just in debt, trouble, because debt is slavery.
And that has been the problem.
Correct. Correct.
Facing.
Correct. So we're changing that now in a fundamental way. And every now and then I run into people who haven't quite got it. They want to lapse back into old patterns. And I say, you know, no, we can't. We've moved along. We've changed this thing. And we're not going back there. We've seen that. And that's not something we want to continue. So We have to continue to say that. So you asked the question, what we do when we collect extra revenues. I've answered it, but I've also told you, if we don't collect extra revenues, then we make an adjustment on expenditure.
In long term. Just going back quickly, I thought, and I'm sure many people thought so too, I thought the street light, that was a service by the company, the electric company, Grenlec. I thought the service it gives as part of being the sole provider of electricity in the country. So government pay for that.
My friend, it's a service, but it's a paid service. We, the people, the taxpayers, pay for the service. When I pay my electricity bill at the end of the month as a citizen, a private citizen, I get a service, but I have to pay for it. And the street lights, that's a service, and we pay for it. $5 million. That's why now we are seriously working with Grenlec as well as with some other partners on some
solar
street lights, because we you know, solar and LED, both. So that we could get the cost of that down. If we could cut it by half, that's $2.5 million that we could spend on doing some more work in the hospital, making sure we have medication on time and those sorts of things. People, remember what we're doing here. Those things, every dollar saved is a dollar earned, because you can then deploy that to do something really important for the country.
Mm-hmm. And solar have been a growing energy sector, and there are creative ways they've come up with in terms of, and that's where we are. The sun is, we get pretty much for the entire day.
That's correct, and that is why it's unacceptable in this day and age that only 2% of our electricity mix is solar PV. PV is photovoltaic, solar light. Only 2%. So 98% of our electricity comes from diesel, is powered by diesel, 2% by solar PV, the sun, essentially. Now, with all of the sun in Grenada, we got to do more than that. We have to do better than that. And it requires an investment, a commitment, which is why we go back to the Electricity Supply Act and the need to change the law so that it creates more incentives for people to invest in solar PV and other things. And, of course, Grenlec itself is looking to see what else can be done. But we need to move a lot faster in that area.
Yeah, the costs need to come down. It's just too high. We about
and
the
it
highest,
affects business.
But we are about the highest in the Caribbean?
We are certainly among the highest.
Among the highest.
Among the highest. We may not be the absolute highest, but we are among the highest. It's 40, 42 U.S. cents per kilowatt hour. It's come down a little bit in the last few months because oil prices have fallen. So it might be closer to 40 cents now. But you see, you really see the impact of those high prices on business and manufacturing and jobs. That's where you really know. We could do a lot better on jobs. Small businesses could do well. But when businesses have to, between the labor and electricity bill, I mean, it's depending on what you're doing, you're just struggling to survive. So you have to find ways to cut the cost of business, which is, in this case, the cost of electricity. So that's a very important focus. So when you go back to talk about why we're doing changing the law, it is to help the economy to grow faster, to give business a better chance, not just to survive, but to thrive and to create jobs and opportunities. For government to be able to spend less money on electricity bills and more money on people through health services, education services, fixing more roads, and the kinds of things that people really need.
Folks, I'm speaking to Mr. Timothy Antoine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. We take a word from our sponsors, we come back, and I continue my discussion here with him. And I want to talk to him about what are some of the projects, an important one that government have in store. We heard government talk about projects. We heard the Prime Minister talk about their projects coming. I want to ask him what are these projects and if he can share with us some information. Take a word from our sponsors, we come right back.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
St. George's Baptist Church. Purpose: the channel God chooses to fulfill the needs of humanity. Vision: building communities which become the model for winning people to Christ. Mission, goal, empowering people to enjoy prosperity and fulfillment in life. These are the purpose, vision, and mission of the St. George's Baptist Church.
Welcome back. This is Inside Financed. I am Stanford Simon. With me in the studios, Mr. Timothy Antwine, and we're talking government and what is happening there. Now, the question about projects, you've talked to us about homegrown, what is happening to the CBI, how that is a slow-moving one. You talked to us how government is using its revenue and the collection, even that in the past few weeks. Now, the question comes and bear to mind now, and really clearly, a lot of people is asking the question. Government have talked about projects, and they have put forward there are project and investors coming. Now, what is the Ministry of Finance working on at this time when it comes to project? What it is you could tell us in the coming months ahead we should be seeing happening in terms of projects?
Well, a number of things that we're working on. We certainly are hoping that the Parliament will start not too long from now. We recently opened the tenders for the Parliament building. As you know, we had delays on that because Australia withdrew its promised funding of $5 million, and we had to seek an alternative. And we have secured the alternative in the country of Mexico, so that Mexico and the United Arab Emirates will be the main funders of the Parliament. Those bids were open. I'm happy to say local firms are involved. And I'm hoping that we will have a decision soon. I expect to have a decision in the next few weeks. And so we're in a position to award a contract for the Parliament building. That's a significant project. And of course, goes without saying, it's a potent symbol of our democracy. Mm-hmm. We need to get our Parliament building going. There is also work going on right now on a third phase for the Farm Roads project. I will not say much more on that yet, but work is going on, and at the right time, an announcement will be made. I did have the opportunity not long ago to visit some of the farm roads. I was particularly impressed by the work being done in the closure, what they call the closure, Bull Road project. It's a huge project. It's, I think, about $4.5 million. And they are, I mean, widening roads, cutting slopes and widening corners, putting in bridges. It's a huge, huge project, and not an easy one. Mm. And the closure of Bull Hill Road, and which I think then joins to Windsor. But what it means is that when that is done, there will be a very nice road for farmers to access more of their crops and to take them to market. And of course, for those people commuting between Guava and Grenville, you'll have an even faster commute. Okay. That's in the heartland, that's deep inside of the heartland of the country. And so that's going on, the Concord work that's going on the road to the Concord waterfalls. That's also quite significant work there. And of course, some other areas are around Mount St. John Road and St. Andrews and so on. So I know a phase three is being worked on. That phase three would include Mabuya, which again is important because, I know they've opened the road now and there is some vehicular traffic going through the area through an initiative of the community, I'm told, unofficially. But clearly that is important, that network linking the north to the south of the country, mm-hmm. to have it done. And it will cut down on the commute time. I mean, if you think about the time it takes to go through on Granby, you could significantly cut down on that with a road, a proper road that's reopened and so on. So I know that is part of phase three and some very important roads which will help our farmers. So I just give two examples. There's some schools that are going on. There's some major projects going on, rockfall and slope stabilization. The Senders Tunnel will start shortly. Work has just started on the River Road landslip rockfall project. And there is, of course, then we expect once we finalize the work with the St. John's River, which is in River Road, to start work there as well. Those are significant projects. So these are millions, multi-million dollars we're talking about that will create employment. So on the government side, those are some things. Then there's preparation going on for us to be able to launch the Lance and Hubble bridges in Guelph. I know the consultants are finalizing the designs there, and then they have to launch a tender and so on. So that is, in the meantime, we've been looking at an appropriate bypass so that when the work starts on the Lance bridge, you could have traffic moving around the bridge, you know, so that you can continue to operate and so on. So those are some, I just mentioned, there are obviously a lot more, but those are just an example, sample of some of the things. I personally have been on a few of them recently, so they come to mind readily because I visited some of them recently. Of course, on the private sector side, you know, we've seen the recent opening of the Clark School Bay Marina, at least the completion of phase one. We've seen the start of Silver Sands. We've seen the expansion of the call centers at Sanders. We've seen the opening of the Morbi Tavern in Karaku. Those are all private sector projects, and there are a few more that are planned. So our expectation is that we'll see more and more of these projects. And then on top of that, there's these approved projects under the Citizenship and Investment Program that have not yet started, which are to come. So, you know, you'll begin to see quite a stream of private sector projects going, which will create employment for our contractors and, of course, our people, and just economic activity in general. So projects take longer than you would like. My experience in projects over many years, when I started in the Ministry of Finance, I started in the planning division. And I understood early the project cycle, project management cycle. It tends to take longer. People hear an announcement of funding and then think the project is going to start tomorrow. But you have to get planning approval, you have to then do designs, you have to then tender, you have to award, start implementing.
It's a lot of things.
And along the way, you have to hope the weather is kind. If you have weather delays, you know there are issues. So it takes a while. But naturally, I understand, you know, people want to see things happen sooner or later. We all do. But there are some things coming on stream. So that's a sample of some of the projects.
Now, as we look to conclude this time together, just a matter of question. How is the Ministry of Finance doing with, I know they were the plan to look at not hiring more persons, but as people retire, you make the adjustment. How have the government been doing with that?
We're doing that, and we're going to do a review, you know, sort of an annual review as we get ready for the budget. 2016 budget presentation on this issue of the attrition policy. But we have been sticking to that and moving on that basis. So I am very positive about the usefulness of doing that. And I've always made the point, the attrition policy does not mean that we cannot recruit or we cannot secure key skills that we need. And I look at the area of energy, for example. That has to expand, given what we have to do with geothermal and so on. Now, a lot of that, we've been getting help from outside. So, like, we have a German who's joining the energy division very shortly. We have an intern, also German, who's joining the division soon. We have the guy from New Zealand who's helping us on geothermal, who will be with us for a few months, the geothermal advisor. We also have somebody from Trinidad. So where we can get external help, we're taking it. Right. But there will also be need to have local capacity, because you have to have local people work with these people so that when they leave, you have capacity built. So in air energy, we can't cut staff. We actually, energy has 5 people. We have to increase it, but do it in a way that doesn't do violence to the budget. And so there are areas of government where you could actually slim down and cut down. And the areas that may need to be increased. But we need to do it smartly. And that's what we've been trying to do. So overall, it's working. It's taken a while. You know, people have to understand the shift, the change. Everybody, including senior public servants, have to understand it and implement it. And you have to communicate change. And, you know, change management is a process and a challenge. So you have to keep working at it. But it's the right thing to do. The need for us to ensure the size of the service is right. You want to have a good size so that you have the skills that you need, and that ultimately you can pay your public service But if you have too many people and you don't have the right skills, you have a problem. You don't have the skills to improve, and you don't have the money to pay. So you have a problem. So that's why we're trying to address the issue through the attrition policy.
What is the size of the public service now?
Well, it's 5,000, just over 5,000.
5,000?
Yeah, it's a combination of permanent staff and unestablished or professional staff.
And then the salary per month for government is how much?
The wage bill, including pensions, is about $25-28 million in that range.
25 and 28 million.
Yeah.
And we collect now just about $50 million a month.
Right. So interestingly, yes, that's correct. 51.5 is the average for the first 6 months of the year. So what we're seeing is that because of what we're doing, when we started the homegrown program, 70 cents of every dollar were being spent on wages and pensions. Now that's getting down to close to 50 cents.
Mm. So how much it should be?
I like to see it down to 25 cents. That might take a while, I agree. But, well, you know, you want to get it down to certainly under 40, because what it means is that it gives you more room to do projects.
Okay.
You see, that's the difference. The more you have, the less you're spending on payroll as a proportion of the dollar that you earn, the more of that dollar can be spent on projects, health, education, roads, and so on, agriculture, tourism, marketing, you know, all of those important things that we're doing, so, and have to do to grow the economy. So, yeah.
Mm. Quite interesting. And thank you for that very soft and mellow talk. We spend this time. We normally have some harsh questions. This was very nice. Two questions, really. And it was very nice. Thank you so much. Any final thoughts, though, you'd like to leave with?
Well, just to say that a couple of things. We are getting ready for the 2016 budget. The budget will be presented in late November, as has been the practice. Prime Minister and Minister of Finance has been very clear. All his budgets must be presented before the beginning of the fiscal year, which starts January. So last year we did it in late November. This year again it'll be November. So we are going to have a budget retreat soon, and then after that we will be inviting the ministries to make their submissions for the 2016 budget. Consultations will take place in September, and then basically we hope to have the budget, not hope, we will have a budget, God willing, presented in November. So a lot of our focus is on that. But before that, we have the IMF third review.
Happens when?
August 28th to 28th, 2028. So we are working on that. And a number of players, partners, will be invited to meet with the fund in the usual manner to discuss the situation and to give their views. But that is what we're working on. Well, those are two main things. Obviously, there's a lot of things going on in the Ministry of Finance. A lot of things going on. At any given time, you'll be amazed. But obviously, the 2016 budget is big. Mm-hmm. And before that, of course, the IMF third review in late August.
Okay. My special thanks to you, Mr. Timothy Antwine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance, for the opportunity to talk with him once again. To hear what's happening in the Ministry of Finance, I always enjoy chatting with him, and I'm sure you do too, especially the business persons in Grenada and our citizens even in the diaspora. It's just a joy, and I want to thank him for the time he take to come and sit and chat. He's a very busy person, but at least he take time to come and talk with us here on Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. Thank you so much for being with me today. I want to wish you a very blessed, enjoyable week, and you can go to our website, sgbcgrenada.com, under the heading Encounter Interview, and the program is uploaded there. You can also go to the Ministry of Finance website, and the information is there. God's blessings on you. Join me here next week at the same time, where we do this all over again. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.